If you're here this morning, don't care what your baggage is. We assume you have some. Never hurts to be with God's people and to hear Him speak. It's got to make any life better, regardless of your struggle. In Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse, we're going to read a portion of something that happened in the life of Jesus Christ. It's very familiar, but let's listen carefully to 4 verses when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4 and verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Everybody say hungry.
Hungry.
"And now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Today I'm talking about He's my bread when I'm hungry. We are not sustained in our life by physical, natural food only. But those of us who are spirit beings, born of the Spirit, we know that nourishment, nutrition is required for our life and for our strength and for the journey each of us face. And so God's Word came to us in the form of the Son of God. The Word of God was made flesh, and we beheld Him as the Son of God. And He's my bread when I'm hungry. Imagine starving. None of us really know what that's like. Millions of people on the planet, and many of them children, went to bed last night with their stomach growling in hunger. None of us really know what that's like, probably. But imagine, if you can for just a moment, starving with hunger pains and going so long without any food, and then suddenly you're given a warm, fresh-baked loaf of bread, fresh out of the oven. When we lived in Liepāja, Latvia, one of the great memories we had there is riding the trolley, which was the way people got from one end of town to the other, on the trolley. And on days when they would bake bread at the factory — it was not a bakery, it was a bread factory, huge buildings with tall silo chimneys that blew smoke — that was the way they heated and cooked. And we would ride the trolley to that end of town, and before we even got within 2 blocks of the bread factory, we could smell the aroma of that fresh baked bread. One of the most pleasant scents I've ever had. I don't smell much, and that's usually a great blessing for me. But I do remember the fragrant smell of that freshly baked bread. I'm not much of a bread eater, but I couldn't turn that down. You could smell it before you even tasted it. Sadly, though, here's the truth. He is my bread when I'm hungry. He is that for all of us, but not everyone that is empty is hungry. Some people have been empty for so long, it's become second nature. It's a way of life. They got by yesterday without any nutrition, any spiritual word from God. So they just stumble again into yet another day, another day. We get up and then do our day and go to bed and get up and do it all over again without realizing many times the value of God's Word and the life that comes to us in a fresh way every day when we hear a proceeding word from God. the Word of God? Are we hungry for it? Psalm 107:9, He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 42:1, As the deer longs for the water, so my soul longs for you. Isaiah 44:3, God said, I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. Jeremiah 29:13, You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Revelation 22:17, Let him who thirsts come and drink of the water of life freely. Sadly, the bad news first this morning. Not everyone that is empty is hungry. But when we're hungry, he's our bread. Last Sunday, we read this verse. I'll read it again. Joshua 1:8. It's good news, and it's so important going into a new season. We're in a new season. Collectively, corporately, as a church, a new season. Not in the wilderness, wandering around anymore. We have stepped foot now into the best promises of God. And anytime you're in a new season, the Word of God is so important. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Just how important is the Word of God to us in our daily lifestyle? It's bread for the hungry. It's water for the thirsty. It's life to those of us who are born of the Spirit. Now, I read a sad, tragic news story on WMBFnews.com yesterday, and perhaps you heard this. It was a tragedy. 5 people were killed in a single car accident Friday night in Darlington County. And the headline was, Woman was in labor in single vehicle crash that killed 5 and injured many others, right here in Darlington County. And the story, as you read it, tells that all the members of the family hopped in the car and were rushing to the hospital because the pregnant mother-to-be was in labor and about to give birth when they lost control of the car and tragically had an accident that killed 5 members, including the mother and her unborn child. She was in labor, ready to deliver when this happened. How tragic. But it's just as tragic in the spiritual realm when God speaks a word to us and the enemy comes immediately to steal the word as soon as it is spoken. God can speak a proceeding word, a very fresh word, fresh out of heaven's oven, a word that's right now for you, right where you are, a word that can cast a light on a dark path, a word that can give you direction and comfort and equipping in every area. But the devil comes immediately to steal the... Hey, we may not always act like we know the value of God's word, but the devil always knows how valuable God's word is. That's why he comes immediately. What a tragedy for a child that's not even yet born, is about ready to be born into the world and then never be given the chance of life. And there's a verse in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4 that is a spiritual parallel to that. The baby that's just now ready to be born, losing its life that early. It says, the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And that's the way the enemy is when he hears a proceeding word from God. When the devil hears God speak a word to you and to me, whether or not we appreciate it, value it, embrace it, apply it, do it, it's not important to the devil. He's quick to jump immediately as soon as he sees any of us getting within earshot of God's word. He immediately is on the prowl to steal that seed before it has a chance to take root and give birth. One of the most famous parables Jesus told was the parable of the sower sowing the word. And you know that parable. Jesus was sharing with his disciples how God's word is effective in our lives. And he said, the seed is the word of God. And when the farmer sows the seed, it falls on one of four different kinds of soil, which are different types of our heart condition. And one of them, Jesus said, the word is sown. And when they hear, now they hear, they did hear. The word is sown. And when they hear, Jesus said, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. Immediately he comes. We should just immediately secure the seed. Respect the seed, honor the seed, accept the seed, embrace the seed. Go to work with the seed. Water the seed, fertilize the seed. Help that seed grow up and become greater in our lives. When God speaks, it's a small thing initially, but it quickly becomes greater if it falls on good soil. If our heart is ready to receive it, we should be quicker than the devil when we hear God speak. Because if we drag our foot when we hear God speak a word, the enemy beats us to the seed and he snatches it quickly. We're not as respectful of the word as we should be. He is my bread, but only when I'm hungry. Now, there are stages of spiritual development. All of us are in one of these stages. You can identify what stage you're in if you want to as we move along quickly. I've given you these before. I keep these few words near me in one of my Bibles so that frequently I can do an audit of my own life and see where I am and where's the next level where I need to go. Spiritually, in my own maturity, in my own development. It's a progressive list of different levels of a relationship between a believer and God's word. First is entry level, and that's hearing God's word. Got to hear it first. Jesus didn't overlook this simple step. It's the first step, but he says, if any man hath an ear, let him hear. And it's so important that we hear. Not that we just read only. Now, most of the time when we hear God speak, it is as we read his word. But the written word is the Greek word logos. It's the Bible. It's inspired scripture. Logos. It's the written word of God, forever settled in heaven and earth. It is the truth, the highest form of reality that we know. God's word, logos, written in scripture. But then, as we are reading the written word, the logos of God, all of a sudden, a word will be front and center in our life. It'll be hitting us between the eyes. It'll be the right word at the right season. And we'll know it when we hear it. Life is in this word for me right now. That's rhema. That's the Greek word rhema. Logos is the written word of God. Rhema is the word we hear God speak. We hear it in our spirit, not with our natural ear. But if any man has an ear, let him hear. And God doubly qualified each of us. We have two ears, so it's twice as easy to hear as some may think. It's easy to hear. You need to accept that truth. When God wants to say something, he is a great communicator. He speaks mostly from his written word, and it becomes life to us. Sometimes you can read a chapter and not sense any fresh bread. And then all of a sudden, there is one word that jumps out and you know, oh, this is what today's all about. This is the word God has for me today because it brings life to us. Hearing God's word, it happens to his children. God's always been able to speak clearly even before the Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us the truth of God's word. Back in Old Testament days, when God wanted a man to do something specifically, he would speak clearly to that man, like Noah. Build a boat this big out of this wood, this wide, put one window in it, put one door in it, make it three stories, and then go get two of everything. Specifically. And many believers today in this year in the new covenant with the Holy Spirit living in each of us, the Spirit of God, the same author who wrote the book living inside each of us as believers, we do so little with so much. Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Let me tell you what happened in the 1500s. Dark ages, 1,000 years of darkness. There was not much of God's word effective in the earth. Organized religion was running the world. And the Catholic Church, and God love you Catholics, 25% of our church is Catholic. God loves the Catholics. But back in that day, 500-600 years ago, it had become corrupt. And a few people at the top were fraudulent and teaching the people, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to pay the church money. And then we will absolve you of your sins. And so it was a crooked, rigged system, the Catholic Church, back in that day. And God spoke to one man, a man who's no different than me, are you. His name was Martin Luther. And here's how God spoke to Martin Luther, which led to the Reformation. It led to churches like us, Protestant churches that loves Catholics still. All over the world because of one man hearing God speak one thing. And here's what Martin Luther was doing. A Catholic priest reading the Logos, the written word of God. And he got to that Old Testament verse that simply said, the just shall live by faith. And God began speaking to him about what that meant. The just don't exist by buying forgiveness or giving money to a church to go to heaven, but the just shall live by faith. It's by faith alone and nothing else. And God revolutionized the movement of the Spirit of God in the world all over the planet by speaking to a man. God can speak. Now the written word becomes audible in our spirit when God speaks a preceding word to us. You can be reading scripture, logos, it's scripture, it's God speaking in written form, but then as you do, when God has something to say, like he did to Martin Luther, there it is, and you'll know it when you read it. It will be the written word becoming audible in your spirit. First level is hearing. You're hearing the word today. You're hearing the word today. Second level is receiving it or accepting it. The Bible says, receive the imparted word, which is able to save your souls. All right, now, not everybody who hears it accepts it. They all hear, but the devil comes immediately to steal the word they heard. That's his modus operandi. That's the way he operates. That's the thief that he is. So we must receive it. When we hear God's word, we must accept it. Quickly receive it. It's able to save your soul. That's what the Bible says. Not your spirit. Now, your spirit's already born again. Spirit is born again. You're born of the Spirit. You're already a believer. But your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. They need to be saved too. Some of you got emotions right now that could need a healing. One translation there could be, receive the word that's spoken over your life because it's able to save your sanity. You ever met any believer who could really use a healing in their mind? You can take somebody who's uninformed, uneducated, never been around long enough to know the way things really are. They're a sinner, and they can become born again, become a child of God. Their spirit is new. But if they continue to think the same way they've always thought, it won't be long before they'll continue to produce the same thing they've always produced in their life. So it's receiving the word we hear God speak that's able to change our mind. That's what the word repent really means, to change your direction, to change your mind. In Acts chapter 8, the apostles were still ministering in Jerusalem, but word had gotten out to other cities, and the apostles still in Jerusalem received a report about the believers in Samaria, another city a distance away. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the citizens of Samaria had received the word, they rejoiced. Hey, something to rejoice about. Not just that you hear only, but you take that second step and you receive the word. You accept the word. So there's hearing the word, entry level. Then there's receiving the word. The next step is studying the word. The Bible says, study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So are you a student of the word? Do you value God's word enough that you're willing to hear it, receive it, accept it, and then study it? The next level after that is meditating on it. Now, meditating on God's word, that's a lost art. Meditation is a lost art. Now, many times when people in Christian circles hear the word meditation, they throw it away. New Agers or whoever has hijacked that word, they've kidnapped it, and it's unholy now. No, it's holy. It's in the word of God. We're to meditate on the word of God. Bible says meditate on it day and night. Only when you meditate on the word day and night so that you are careful to do everything in it, only then will you prosper and be in success. That's how valuable the word of God is. But we must meditate on it. That means to ponder it, to mull it over in our mind, to allow it to digest. David the psalmist said, blessed is the man who delights in God's word and meditates in it day and night. And then he said that word that Dr. Frank Harvey reintroduced to us a couple of weeks ago, Selah. It means stop and think about that or meditate on it. Or as my dad mentioned, one of the ministers in a generation or two ago that he knew well, describe that word Selah as meaning this. How about that? As you're reading God's word and all of a sudden you audibly in your spirit hear him speak a proceeding word and you know God is speaking life to me right now in this word. Selah was the Hebrew word. It means how about that? Let's stop and meditate on what I'm hearing God say. Meditation. We're to meditate on the word day and night. After meditating on it, the next step, another next progressive level in our relationship between a believer and God's word is treasuring God's word. Well, now you may not behave on a day-to-day basis like you treasure God's word. But the devil does. As soon as the devil overhears God say something to you, that devil is on it. With one agenda, I'm going to steal that word before they get it in their heart. The devil knows that word is so filled with God's life that if that person hears it, receives it, accepts it, studies it, meditates on it, and begins treasuring the word God just spoke, well, that'll be hopeless for the devil. He's lost the battle there. So he goes immediately because he knows what a treasure God's word is. We should not let the devil think more highly of the word of God than we do. Solomon said to seek it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. What a treasure God's word is in the United States. This past Wednesday evening, Pastor Chris Potter brought us a teaching from the book of 1 Samuel, and he did an amazing overview of like 11 chapters from that generation of God's people. And in that 11 chapters, we find these words in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now, there have been times, there have been seasons, there have been generations and entire centuries of history that have gone by where the word of God was rare. Dark ages. But that should not be said of the day in which we're living. The word of God is everywhere today. But are we hearing it? Are we receiving it? Are we studying it? Meditating on it? Do we treasure the word of God? And in this nation especially, where all of us own at least 24 Bibles and we have apps on our iPad that can give us 200 different translations at the touch of a finger. The word of the Lord should not be rare in our day like it was in Samuel's day. However, in many nations, God's word is still contraband. You can get arrested for smuggling it into some nations. 25 years ago, on my first trip to Russia, I met a lady who had never seen a Bible, and she spoke just enough English I could talk with her. A Russian lady, and I showed her my Bible, and she was overwhelmed that I had a Bible. She had heard about it. She knew the concept of it, that it was God's letter to humanity, but she had never seen one. It had been contraband up until that point. The first church service we held in Liepāja, Latvia, which that church was planted 25 years ago next month. Our sister church, Abundant Life Church in Liepāja, Latvia, 25 years and still doing strong. But in our very first service, we had 300 adults plus the children in another building. And I asked the congregation that day in the very first service through my translator, how many of you have ever seen a Bible? And five hands were raised. Five hands out of 300 had ever seen a Bible. Do we treasure God's word as much as the devil does? He sees value in it. I've heard of one story where an underground church in a nation where Christianity was illegal, Christians persecuted, imprisoned, and even killed, and in an underground church meeting in a home, they only had one page that had been torn out of the Gospel of Luke. That's all the Bible they knew. So every time they'd get together quietly and worship quietly and read the Word of God that they had quietly in a home, they had to read from the same page. They did it for 4 years before they could get a Bible. And they devoured every word on that page from the Gospel of Luke. Oh, if we had a revelation this morning, God, if you do nothing else for any of us today but this, please let it be this. give us a revelation, a fresh and a new one, of the value of your word. You are our bread when we're hungry. Then next level is memorizing God's word. Memorizing, committing it to memory. David said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hiding the word of God in your heart, committing it to memory. That's why when you need a word from God, it's no longer just words written on paper in a book, but it's word that you've hidden in your own heart. I told you this before, and I'm still growing. I have not arrived. Still a work in progress. Still flawed and imperfect. But at least I can see evidence of some growth. I remember being a young man in my early 20s, and I believed in God then. I was so desperate for a word. I was starving and I was hungry. You can be starving and not hungry. I was starving and I got hungry. I needed to hear from God and I didn't know any better. But to go into a room, shut the door and open the Bible and say, okay, God, I'm just going to open it to any page and point to scripture. And I hope that's what you're saying. And I would do it like that and then open my eyes. He really did speak to me that way one time. Now I didn't know any better. God meets us where we are in our need, if we're hungry. Oh, he's got a lot to say, but unless we're hungry, we're not going to be fed much. He's our bread when we're hungry. We don't live by natural bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Now when I need to hear from God, and I do, still, often I don't have to do this. But I can search my own heart because I've hidden his word in my heart now. Years have come and gone, and over time, a word here and a word there. And I remembered the mark it made on my life the day he spoke it, and so I stored it in my heart. So now when I need to hear a word from God, I don't always have to blindly drop my finger on the written book. I can search the heart where I've hidden his word, and it's still there like money in the bank. Memorizing it. And then the final step. Because you know, tip off or kick off, which is it? It's a kickoff this time, right? It's happening after a while, and I know you folks are gonna eat and take a nap and get up in time for the kickoff. So this is my last point. Is applying the word of God. Hey, it's all a waste if we don't do it. It's all a waste, all the hearing it, all the receiving it, all the study, the meditation, the treasuring, the memorizing it. It's all a waste for the most part if we don't take this final step and apply God's word to our life. Actually do the word. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. How can you deceive your own self? By hearing the word of God and then not doing the word you've heard. Refusing to apply God's word when he speaks to you. When you are hungry and he's bread right now to bring fresh life to you. You hear it. But don't do it. And the Bible is clear on that point. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. Now here are three things the devil attempts to do. Three things. Number one, he tempts us. Not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. A temptation happens when you take at least a second to entertain the possibility. I mean, it is a temptation. How many of you know what a temptation is? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're either asleep or your next door neighbor needs to shake you right now and be sure you haven't died in church. We all know what temptation is. The devil, he tempts us. He accuses us. And then he deceives us. Those three things. However, deception is a tricky one. Here's why. When I am tempted, I know it. When I am accused, I know it. But when I am deceived, I do not know it. So the danger of deceiving our own selves is clearly given to us here. And we deceive our own selves when we hear God speak and then don't apply the word. Oh my, I gotta quit real fast now. That's the worst part about deception. People who are deceived don't know it. When you're tempted, you know it. When you're accused by the accuser of the brethren, you know. But when you're deceived, you're clueless. And so the remedy for that is to hear the word of God and then apply it. Become a doer of it, not just a hearer only. Last week I told you about the two house builders. I really am closing. Two house builders. One built his house on solid foundation, like a rock foundation. And the other builder built his house on sand that would just shift and move. There was nothing steady, stable about it. It was just not a good foundation to build anything on. Now, both men built houses. And the Bible says that the rains beat and the winds blew against both houses. And Jesus said, what I mean by that is the man who built his house on the rock is like a man who will hear my words and do it. The rains beat, the winds blow, but the house withstood the storm. And he said, likewise, the man who built his house on sand, he also suffered the same storm. The rain blew or beat, the rain beat, and the wind blew against the house. But his house collapsed because it was not built on a solid foundation. Jesus said, that's like the man who hears my word. Oh, he will hear it, but then doesn't do it. He doesn't survive the storm. Both builders had the same storm. Both builders heard the same word. But the builder whose house survived the storm heard God's word and applied it. The builder who heard God's word and did not do what he heard, his house did not survive the storm. We need to increase our opinion if necessary. Place greater respect and a higher value in the word of God. When you're hungry, it is your bread. While you're still seated.